the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, the first ever Cat Attack Podcast, Kerr's Hire style, done Zoom style, should I say. This is quite extraordinary. We are up with everything modern technology in the Cat Attack Podcast, and we love nothing more than Zoom meetings. We're like noxious weeds, the Cat Attack Podcast. We just continue to come back, and we're back for another season. Plenty to dissect, Kingy. We've had a couple of games, the practice game and then the game against the Gold Coast. Fair to say, it wasn't exactly astounding for the Cats, was it? That they didn't really produce a whole lot, albeit I referenced a couple of times during those calls that Sydney didn't win a pre-season game for about 100 years and never missed the finals under Paul Roos. So it's going to be a big season, Kingy, isn't it? I reckon there's a few anxious Cat fans out there wondering how their team's going to go.
I've actually seen various ladder predictions, and you know, they're worth probably the paper they're printed on or whatever, but some have had Geelong as high as finishing second after the home and away, and I've seen some having them down as low as 11th and 12th. And I think they're one of the great unknowns of the competition, and that's actually a bit exciting, Benny, that Geelong might have to fight and scrap this year, and that's something we haven't had to see them do other than probably 2015, where they were just horrendous from the start. I think, you know, they started 1-3 or 1-4 and never really got back into it. So I'll take more out of the Richmond performance than I will out of the Gold Coast. Talking to the skipper last week when they announced the leadership group that's now just a leadership trio, he did talk about how dewy it was. He goes, it was just typical Queensland night there, that it's conditions I'll only see once or twice a year. And some of the players just had trouble adapting. Gold Coast did play well, though, and obviously, you know, you look at the shots on goal against what the Cats produced, and they were the better team on the night. So, but I'm not getting too flummoxed by what happened there. But you look at the Richmond game, and Geelong created plenty of opportunities out of that, and that's probably your marker. You work off that. But the Cats will be judged after 6 weeks with their start to the year. Like, Essendon's going to be no pushover Saturday. Go to Sydney. Collingwood on a Saturday night, and they expect the Pies to improve. Brisbane at home, North Melbourne down in Tassie, you think they'll win that. And then, Hawthorn on Easter Monday and North Melbourne in Tassie. So the Cats would want to be 4-2. I reckon any worse than that, and it might be a long way back.
Did you just use the word flummoxed?
Yes.
That is extraordinary. 3 minutes into the opening Cat Attack Podcast, Kerr's Hire, and you have come out with flummoxed. Yes. So we want to continue on with some very silly words as we go through the course of this year, and that is one of them, flummoxed. If Geelong don't make the finals,
yep,
I'm not sure what I'll do, but it will involve nudity.
Right.
Public nudity.
Public nudity if Geelong don't make the finals.
And I'm not saying Geelong are going to win the premiership, because I don't think they'll win the premiership. I think that window has closed, but they've got way too much talent, well, I would have thought, to miss the finals. Yep. I reckon that their back line is strong. I think that Lockie Henderson going out helps. No disrespect to Lockie Henderson, but he shouldn't have been playing and was found out in both final series the last 2 years. Played okay at GMH, bound narrow ground, but as soon as it had to run and cover, he couldn't. So I think their back line will be better. You've got Stewart, who comes back, who had a great year last year, missed the finals. Bue's not playing the first round, but he's a steady player.
No, the door's still open for that. Apparently the 12 days, he actually falls in. So talking to the club,
he'll be playing.
That he can play. Jack Henry's going to be right. The Cats have only, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, and the Cats have just announced that he'll play. So here he was rolling around last Thursday night at Deakin against Newtown. Fair preparation.
Yeah, right.
Fair preparation.
How did he go?
He got through okay.
Well, I wouldn't be expecting too much of Jack Henry in the first few weeks. I know he had a very good year last year, and we spoke about this in one of the pre-games of the pre-season comp there, that he was great last year, and he took his game to another level, and he's still got more to come. But he's not the sort of player that I would be expecting too much from fresh. So I think, and I wouldn't say they're going to have to carry him, but I'd be surprised if he isn't a little rusty early on. And that's no knock on him. I think he's just going to need a few weeks to find his feet. Very few players in this comp can come in off the back of an injury-interrupted preseason and play really, really well. It is very few across the history of the competition. James Hird was one, and as good as Jack Henry is, he's no James Hird. So I just reckon that, but I like Bewe Stewart. I like the defence and I like the forward line. Stengel, I know he struggled a little against Gold Coast, but was good against Richmond. Hawkins is not going anywhere. He's just Tom Hawkins. He's always a threat.
Yep.
Cameron's in the wheelhouse of his best footy. 28, 29 as a key forward. He is absolutely – I think you said he'd had that missed a beat over pre-season, including he got off the coffees and got onto instant coffee, we heard, which was quite extraordinary. He drinks was it Macona?
Yes, he's on the Macona.
Yeah, so he stopped going down and buying sick $5 coffees and he's on the instant in an enamel cup, I reckon, one of those sort of, and wearing a flannelette shirt and just fishing and maybe just had durry out the corner of the mouth, which he'd rolled himself. But so we found that. So their forward line, and then I think you throw in Close, who's an improving player.
Close will spend a bit more time up the ground, I reckon, too.
Well, he can, and I wouldn't mind that, but he has to play a certain role. He's not big enough to go and get the ball. He has to get someone to get it to him. So, and if you get it to him, he's got really good hands. I like the way he plays, but he's not – people, I think, he can't play in the midfield. Let's put it that way. He's not big enough. He'll get killed.
Yeah, but he can be an outside player.
He can be an outside player playing on the wing. You get the ball to him. Yeah, I agree with that. But he isn't a player. I think he can't throw him to the midfield.
Because he's got a great tank.
He's got very quick hands and he thinks quick.
Yep.
He's only played about 30 games. So wait till he's got to 70 or 80 games. You're going to see a really good player. He's still building his game, but I like him. So the other one there.
Can I just go back to Close? In a weird way, he flourished in the second half of last year when Myers got hurt.
Yep, and that's where I think, you know, Myers is what, is he right? He's not right.
No, he's not.
Early in the season. So the question is, do you play Delhouse?
No.
Or do you play Francis Evans?
No, I don't think either will play.
Okay, so that I'm happy with that. My concern, though, so what I'm saying is I think the forward line's pretty good.
Yep.
You've got two pillars there who are both 50-plus goal kickers.
Yes.
And you've got a bit of a mix in Stengel and Close and a few others that can drift down there.
Yep. Oh, Radicalea. You got Radicalea.
And Radicalea. Well, that's up in the air. I don't know how working.
But I think they've got to play. Well, we know that Stanley will start in the ruck because Segler's not right. So I think they'll go with Stanley. So Segler had an arthroscope on the knee. He hopes to play in the VFL Pracky match this week. And he said that at the season launch last week. That you would have Radicalea and Stanley as your two big. Stanley can't go it alone. You'll have to go against Draper this week. So I'd go with Radicalea because I reckon you can stretch the Essendon defence.
You can scratch the Essendon defence as well. It's a scratch and sniff sort of defence. But I just have to say this. I know this is really bad for podcasts because people can't see it, but we are doing this so I can see you now.
Yep.
And I've never seen a microphone like that stationed at someone's own residence. That is extraordinary. That is like John Laws. I'm waiting for you to explode into a Castrol ad because if that was gold, it would be, you would have everything topped off. Have you ever got a Rolex on and like a nice shirt, pressed shirt? Are you getting into a Bentley out there at your ranch? Because we need to get a photo of that microphone.
I'm not getting into anything at the moment, Benny, unfortunately.
No, you've got what they call the lurgy, haven't you?
So I won't be there on Saturday, which I'm absolutely devastated.
Yeah,
so
that's disappointing too. Which means the ship will get even further off course with me and being involved in it. But, yes.
Because poor Jace Doherty, who's going to step up to the microphone on Saturday afternoon and kick things off for our 90th anniversary year too, Benny.
Oh, I know. It's massive.
We've got a special message from the CEO too. Gil's just recorded something very nice for us.
The message from Gil. I can't wait to hear that. He listens to the podcast?
He listens to the podcast.
He likes St Kilda, though, unfortunately,
He listens to the podcast. So does
his brother's a Cat fan, though.
Yeah, Hamish. Yes. Yep. But he and the AFL's lawyers every week. do have a close listen to the podcast.
Yeah, just in case something. And usually if they listen to some of the stuff you cut out, we would go viral. So let's have a policy. We're not cutting anything out this year.
Benny,
so
anyway, Benny.
Back to the footy, Kingy. I was saying, I think the forward line's good. The back line's good. Massive concern about the midfield for mine.
Well.
Massive.
Yeah. What is your concern, though?
Well, they're old.
Yep.
I
don't think we'll I don't think we'll see the skipper in the middle as often as we've seen him in the past.
That's the concern. And look, I mean, he's one of the greats, absolute greats. And I don't think I've respected a footballer as much as I do Joel Selwood. He is, you know, the one thing I fear is that he can't really play anywhere else but in the midfield. He's not a sort of a creative half forward. I think he'd get exposed potentially leg speed if you put him across half back. He's still got a role to play, but it's a pinch hit midfielder and he can't be your frontline midfielder. Dangerfield, well, Dangerfield just does his own thing, whether he's forward in the midfield.
He's in good nick, Benny. Dangerfield's
Joseph.
Yeah. He's in He's very good. I haven't heard that for a long time. Former Melbourne president, old good Nick.
Joseph.
Yeah, very, very good. You're on fire. But I expect a more productive season from P. Dangerfield this year.
But what do you classify as productive?
Well, I just last year think he lacked impact on games. He lacked leg speed. His ability to clear the contest, he just seemed hindered last year. I think we might see a bit more of that explosiveness back in him this year because he's been able to get more Ks into the body and he's probably not as hampered as he was last year.
I hope you're right because, last year we probably saw the first signs of, I don't know whether
he wasn't right. You know, he had that, obviously he got suspended early and then he had the injury. And he never got into a rhythm last year. Same with Sean Higgins. I think Sean Higgins has turned into a bit of a whipping boy for Geelong supporters. His year last year, broken thumb, the hamstring, he never got, and then so much time as a sub, he never got into a rhythm. So let these guys, if they can get into a rhythm, especially Higgins, I think Higgins can have an impact that Cat fans were hoping they would have seen last year.
Look, I don't know, Kingy. I love Sean Higgins, but he's 34.
Yep.
Now, this is where it gets interesting for Geelong because, you know, do they want to play guys like DeConning? Do they want to play guys like Cooper Stevens, Francis Evans?
DeConning plays.
I hope you're right, but I would like to see Cooper Stevens in.
Yep.
And that's probably the expense of someone like Sean Higgins.
Well, I don't think so. I think you can play Stevens. I think Stevens plays at the expense of like an Evans or a Dalhouse where he'll spend some time.
But he's not a forward, though. He's an out-and-out midfielder.
But he can't spend all his time in the midfield. So you're going to have to rotate him through.
This is where I think, I don't know, and I wonder, what do you think will happen to the Cats? They've got an ageing list. If they got off to a poor start, what do you reckon happens to the list if finals are a distant hope?
They've got to start playing the kids. If they're the problem is, Benny, they won't be out of the mix halfway. Even if they're 4-7 at halfway, they've got so many games at home in the back end, they'll back themselves to win 8 or 9 in the back half of the year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that's probably part of the problem, Kingy, is that they are going to go there with expectations that they can win it. And I think, I'm not saying they can't win it. I'd be very, very surprised if they won it this year. So they're going to go in with those expectations. Therefore, they're going to select the team accordingly. They're not selecting a team that they think is building and this year is not a year they can win. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, Brisbane spent years picking teams where they knew they couldn't win.
Yep.
But it was all about building. Geelong are picking and thinking that they can win. I don't think they can. Therefore, they're going to play guys like Higgins and Dalhouse and some of these older guys at the expense of these guys who are going to sit in the twos. And then it's suddenly going to hit on them next year when if they don't make the finals, they only finish 6th or 7th or 8th this year, get bundled out. They're miles away from it and their list is in absolute no man's land.
There's an over or under for Luke Dalhouse this year. I don't think he plays more than 11 games.
Well, the thing about it is somebody like a Luke Dalhouse is probably good enough to come in and play okay. Sean Higgins knows the pressure's on him. And look, we have a relationship with Sean. He's a fantastic fella. He knows that the pressure's on him.
Yep.
He's had a big preseason, so he's good enough to come in and get the ball 20, 25 times. I'm not doubting that.
Yep.
But would you rather that, or would you rather Cooper Stevens get 15 games under his belt?
Cooper Stevens get 15 games under his belt.
That's right. This is where the selection becomes critical, because I feel that they're going to start the season, and I suppose you are starting the season with the hopes, yep, we can win it. But I don't know that that is actually a reality. I think it's a false hope. Therefore, they're going to select the team for the now. And I don't know that, in the long term, it's going to hinder them more than help them. And I just sort of wonder where they're at. But they've got too much talent, I reckon, to fall off the face of the earth. So that's I reckon that's part of the problem.
Yep. Are we seeing the skipper for the last time this year?
I think if I would, I don't know. I'd say so. Yep. I'd say so.
So this 34, he's 34 in May.
Yeah, and what does he need? Three games to become
greatest
the most capped yep. captain of in the AFL?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, I you don't want to preempt anything, and I would say so, particularly if the Cats were to show signs that the era is 100% over.
Yep.
Finishing in the prelim last year, okay, gives you hope that we're not far away. I don't think that that's actually the reality, but if they were to finish 6th, 7th, 8th, drop out, or only win one final or lose in the first week of finals or miss the finals, I'd say he'd say, look, I've done everything I can. This group isn't winning with me, and I need to, time's up.
Yep.
What will that take into, Kingy? If he plays, let's say he plays 20 games, how many games will he play?
350-odd. He's on about three. Yeah. He's on 335, I think, at the moment.
So he'll get to 350.
Yeah, get him to 350. First cat to 350. Yeah, great result. Yeah,
he's an absolute champion. So, look, yeah, but it's the fact that we're talking about, that's the part of the year ending for the Cats.
Yep.
We're talking about being the end for Selwood, the end for Hawkins.
I think Hawkins
Hawkins will go on.
He'll squeeze out one more year.
Yeah, I think, and his form suggests he plays a different position. He's durable. There's not too many guys built like he is that can play like he does. So, I think he's at this stage, at the start of this year and what he showed last year, he certainly has at least a year or two left in him. But guys like Tui,
Blitzarves, Duncan.
They're all past their best.
I don't think Duncan is.
Oh, what's he, 31?
No, Duncan's 30 this year.
Now starting to get injury prone?
Yeah, he's had a calf issue. He might be a chance for Saturday, but you ping a calf and they can linger and linger.
He's had a couple of years now of injury problems.
Yep.
Blitzarves, I think, if he stays in defence. But, the fact that Stanley was horrible against the Gold Coast,
yep.
And Segler's was at the horse sales trying to buy horses. He's not on the park. And, let's be honest, Jonathan Segler's not the answer.
No.
He's had more clubs than something that's had
he's a lot only of clubs. He's only had three settle.
If he's your third string ruckman that only has to play 7 or 8 games to help you out, you're okay. If you're expecting him to be your frontline ruckman, I think you're in some serious Barney rubble.
Is he a better option than Reece Stanley, though?
I don't know the answer to that, but we're at 2022 and we've been dissecting Reece Stanley for how long?
At Geelong, 7 years.
One thing I'm 100% sure of is Geelong aren't winning the flag with Reece Stanley in the ruck.
Well, if that's the case, Jonathan Segler's got to be your ruck.
Well, Jonathan Segler needs to do something extraordinary, and the fact he's had an injury-interrupted preseason doesn't give me any great confidence that extraordinary feat is on the horizons. Geelong are going to have to overcome the fact that they are absolutely deficient in the ruck. When you consider that English and Martin at the Bulldogs, yep. Is Stephen Martin still at the Bulldogs?
Yes.
Right. The other one, too, is you obviously got Gorn for Melbourne.
Yep.
Who else are we expecting
McInerney.
He's seriously underrated. Geelong just are going to get that. That's going to be a huge Achilles heel. And I just don't understand why they didn't actually work to find a solution to that. I mean, I noticed that, and rightly or wrong, that Braden Pruce ended up at
GWS.
Yeah. So I don't understand. How could we not try and have a crack at him? Or there's got to be somebody else out there. Segler was the best they could come up with, who was discarded by Collingwood.
A long time ago.
And then where'd he go? Hawthorn. Hawthorn discarded him as well. So you got a team that's well, I suppose in a different phase, rebuilding, thinking, well, this guy ain't the answer.
Yep.
They weren't even keeping him as insurance in a ruck. No. And we've got him expecting to be a frontline ruckman. Unfortunately, Reece Stanley's just not the man.
Cat to the future. Welcome back, gentlemen. You were missed. Well, it's nice of you, Cat to the future. You've probably already covered this by the time you get to questions, but the coaching shake-up, well, we haven't touched on it. No line coach accountabilities. Are we relying on the experience of the team to determine the system and strategy? Well, they're going back to what it used to be. I don't mind it, to be honest. It's a, I read an article in a News Corp paper where Chris Scott spoke about it, and he said, well, we all have a team defense, we have a team defensive philosophy rather than it being, you know, just a section on the ground. So I don't know.
Who do the players look to? Like, do they know?
Well, they probably look to everybody.
But I just think that can become an absolute muddle. And the fact that, I mean, what's this Daisy Pierce talk?
I think it's on the mark, but they're just waiting for Daisy to finish her season.
I find that absolutely staggering. If anybody comes on and says I'm knocking her because she's female, they can go and get stuffed because I'm not. How the hell, at elite level professional football, can you get a coach in who has no relationship with any player? Zero. Nada. And then expect them to have a relationship. And also,
how's that different to getting an assistant coach in from another club that's had nothing to do with the players?
Because they're there from the start of the preseason, so they build relationships with players across 6 months prior to the season. Yeah,
but it's only
going to
be a development role, Benny.
Oh, but she's getting in as an assistant coach. How many development coaches can we possibly have? Haven't we got Eddie Betts and Shannon Burns?
No. Shannon Burns is a player welfare manager. He's got nothing to do with the coaching side of things. Eddie Betts is a development coach. Sean Grigg is a development coach.
How many of them can we have? What about getting a full-blown, recognised senior assistant coach? Well, what about that option?
You have to ask.
We don't have one, do we? We don't. Nobody's got any idea.
Lappin is that.
Well, Lappin's been doing that for 1,000 years. He's good mates with the coach. I don't understand. It just frustrates the crap out of me. And not only getting Daisy Pierce, and we're getting an assistant coach in who has no knowledge of the plans for the team. So she's going to develop something that she knows nothing about.
No, but she's only. I think you're being a bit harsh.
I'm not being harsh. I think it is mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling, that we are considering bringing in somebody to help a professional regime after the season has started.
But there's no guarantee that it'll actually be for this season, Benny.
Well, let's hope not. Like, I got nothing against Daisy Pierce. I actually quite like listening to her. So, but just the fact that we are bringing in somebody into a professional environment who hasn't been there for the entire preseason, I find staggering.
All right. Can we invent some form of fast forward machine so we turn Toby Conway into a 24-year-old version of himself? I lack confidence in other ruck avenues.
Yeah, I'd like to that too, but you're just going to have to let the kid progress, and it's going to be probably slow and a bit painful, but that's just the way it is. I'd hate to see Geelong panic and then go to this kid, and it actually is to his detriment early in his career.
I can't see him playing an AFL game this year. He's got a hip issue as well, so they're going to be very, very cautious with him. Daz Broncos, welcome back to 22. Hope that Benny has navigated his way through the Super Bowl tragedy. All I can say is better luck next time. Cough, Russell Wilson, cough. That's harsh.
No.
Okay, right, move on. Now to the real stuff. I know it's a new season, new coaches, new tweaks. Many of the same issues appeared in the match sim and practice match we had, which I'm sure you've mentioned already. So a little off track for me. What is the deal with Chris Scott's contract? I'm not upset. It's still in the wind, but mid last year, it was close and only a few minor details to sort out. I don't know now. Steve Hocking in the media has said it's just a couple of things to sort out. Chris Scott's spoken to the media recently and said he doesn't even know if he signed something. So
That's rubbish. That's absolute rubbish. Yeah. If anybody believes that,
yeah. How would you not know?
A professional coach doesn't know if he hasn't signed anything. Yeah. I mean, that's laughable.
Yeah,
that is absolutely laughable.
6 months on and still no word. Again, I'm pretty happy that it's still open to this point. I really want to see how we go in the first 8 weeks or so before making that decision. Is Hocking somewhat smartly of True holding off and waiting to see how this year plays out? Interested in your thoughts? We've had this discussion. We don't know the rush why to re-sign. Does Chris Scott, if things do fall off the perch, and he did say last week at the season launch, he doesn't want to coach a club that bottoms out. He wants a club that's going to contend and play finals.
I'd love to be in the Bahamas with three supermodels.
Shannon Neal should start playing in front of Sav, in my opinion. Ooh.
Oh, he's a bit off. I'd still like Sav, but yeah, I do agree. This is probably a pivotal season for him. Yeah. Just going back to that Chris Scott stuff. He hasn't signed yet.
The club haven't announced anything.
Do you find that staggering that an extension was offered last November and said it was basically done, and we hit March and the season's about to start? Yeah, I that's Steve Hocking putting his foot down. The previous CEO and the board handed Steve Hocking a piece of paper that said that this coach here is re-signed. There's nothing you can do about it, which my understanding is didn't go down too well with some sponsors who contacted the club to voice their disapproval at the decision to extend Chris Scott. Yeah. And the word that was used to me was irresponsible by the board to hamstring Steve Hocking when Brian Cook knew a new CEO was coming in, yep, hamstring him with a decision such as this when there's so much uncertainty about the short-term future of the list.
Yep. Moving on. Fox Dog 50, welcome back, boys. Great to press play on the podcast. Gives me something to listen to on the way home from work. First of all, rip to Shane Warne. What a legend he was. Yep, absolutely. Benny and A have been giving Asava pats on the back years gone by, and that's fine, but I think it's time for him to take the next step. This is his sixth year in the system. I think it's time for him to show what he can do.
Yeah, I put my hand up for that. I've been a fan, but I do agree he's got to start to impact games more regularly. And I think one thing that might help him is having a defined role. And being there each week in that defined role. Now, I don't know, they're going to want to throw him into the ruck because they're just going to have to. I'm not sure that's his go. He's a burst player. It takes away from his ability to perform up forward. But, yeah, I 100% agree. He needs to show something.
All right. St. Francis.
More consistently.
Yes. St. Francis of Cadinia, do you think the coaches will be brave enough to play youth this year? Selwood, Danger and the Elders always limp into the finals. If Holmes, SDK, Stevens, Evans, Narkle and co aren't getting meaningful amount of games and minutes, it will be a real shame. Hope we are brave enough to do it and risk a few home and away games. Also, were we all wrong on Zach Guthrie? Looks that way. And any news on Segler? Segler I touched on earlier. Hopes to playing the VFL Pracky match this week. But, yeah, we're in the green. So, got to play, get some games into these kids.
Yeah, as I said before, I don't know that they will because I think they've got dreams of winning the premiership and they're not going to pick a team that is potentially sacrificing a win for the betterment of the club down the track. You just said that Chris Scott doesn't want to coach a team that's going down the bottom.
We hit them on Twitter as well, and they've hit us. Why was the member question period of the AGM so short? That came from Boxhead 31. And somebody says, great question that the club is still not addressed. A couple of reasons. They try to keep AGMs as succinct as possible, but also, too, means they don't have to answer questions they don't like.
Yeah.
Simon Quinn, based on comments from the senior coach and others, it feels like Cat fans should be grateful for simply reaching prelims. If the hierarchy of the club truly in their hearts think that they are the right people to still lead our club, I'd rather see us bottom out and enjoy the rise.
I tend to agree. I don't think I've said this before. I don't think there's any, you're always going to get a very small percentage, but I think a vast majority of Geelong fans would welcome, well, not welcome it, but they'd be certainly understanding of a drop down the ladder to grab some draft picks to rise back up the ladder. It's just a reality of football. I mean, you look at the Melbourne and the Bulldogs, and I know Melbourne went and got Lever and May, who are both first round draft picks themselves, but you know the core of their team is Petrarca, Oliver, Salem. I'm sure there's a couple others there that who are pretty high draft pick. Brayshaw.
Jackson.
They're all first-round picks. Yeah, they're all really high picks. And then you throw in they've got an absolute jet like a Gorn And they've developed other players who play bit roles, like, you know, Harms and
Harrison Petty.
Oh yeah, and what's his old mate who kicked 20 goals in the granny? What's his name? The 31 left footer,
Fritsch.
That's it, Fritsch. So all these guys have jumped up, and then they've got the nucleus of absolute stars at the top, who are all top end picks. You look at the Bulldogs: McRae, Bontempelli, Norton, Hunter. Who else is there? There's a couple others I'm sure that I've missed.
Liberatore.
English. Yep. All top picks.
Yep.
I mean, who have Geelong have got? I was thinking about this the other day. Who do Geelong have that's homegrown, that's a top 10 pick, that's not named Joel Selwood?
Oh, nobody, because they haven't had a top 10 pick outside of Nikola Cockatoo.
That's my point. So they're getting, so they've propped themselves up by recruiting, and they've had a crack, and your hat's off to them. They've given it a real crack. I think the end, that's come to an end.
Yep.
And I think that they're going to have to go the other way and do what other clubs have done, unfortunately, and that's rise down the ladder. Or can you rise down the ladder? No, I'm not sure you can do that.
No, you fall down the ladder, Benny.
You fall down the ladder and then rise back up, because you, the spoils you get of being in the doldrums.
Paul Marinelli, I know it was a practice match and no Tom Stewart, but given what we witnessed last week against the Gold Coast, it's fair to say we might be welcoming a top 2 to 5 draft pick to our great club in November. Well, that means the Cats will be falling to 14th.
Look, Geelong have got, I think, just have far too much talent and too much experience to drop to that level. I mean, I could see things going a bit pear-shaped, injuries and whatnot. And if they lose interest, that's the other thing. If they do lose some games, some of those older blokes, yeah, they might lose a little bit of interest at some point. But I just don't see them dropping to that magnitude. I think there's still too much talent there.
Do you think Brad Close could spend more time in the midfield this year to add pace, his clean hands and reads a play well, all stuff you touched on earlier, Benny? Not as an inside mid, but definitely on the outside. And I think he'll play the Grind Myers role, where he becomes that player that will hit up to half back and work really hard and then work hard forward.
Yep. And that's his go. I like him. So he's one that we look for. The one player, Kingy, I mentioned the midfield before. There's one bloke who's got to stand up and become a frontline player, and that's Parfitt.
Yep.
95 games under his belt now. What is he, 24?
Yeah, he would be that, yep.
Yeah, he's got to stand up and become a 25 to 30 possession player who can hit the scoreboard. And he's a good tackler. I reckon he's Geelong's best tackler.
Yep.
But he has games where he's absolutely non-existent. And frontline midfielders don't do that, not the best ones. And he's got to take the load off some of these guys. Selwood, Dangerfield, because the other one too is I mentioned during the pre-game of one of their practice matches, Cam Guthrie's got to stop getting the ball 38 times and kicking it for 14 metres,
yep,
and gaining about 150 metres for the game. He's got to penetrate and be more damaging going forward, because he's a good kick. He can kick a goal, and he's a good deliverer of the ball inside forward 50. But I think he's become very much based around possessions and weight of possession. And he gets it 38 times and has absolutely no impact on the game, because he's getting it and kicking it sideways and kicking it backwards. They play kick to kick, and he does a lot of that. I'd love to see him get it 22 times and be gaining 700 metres than getting it 32 times and gaining 250 metres.
Edmund 59, should we have appointed a new captain this year? Not, you weren't replacing a bloke who only had 3 games to go to be the all-time leading for games as captain in the competition.
Nah, if Joel wanted to do that and he thought that was best, then great. He didn't. Well, whether the club just decided, I don't know. But look, I'm happy for him to go out as the captain of the club. I think he's, and I know one would be certainly begrudging that. I just hope that there probably needs to be some sort of, given the fact they've narrowed it down to 3, you would have thought the next captain's Tom Stewart.
Yep. Chris Camporelli, what do you think the Cats will do about their key backs now? Henderson is gone. All for DeConning getting opportunity, but he's obviously raw. Who else can go down there if we need to make changes? Surprised a key back wasn't signed with our available list spot.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you could argue that. I mean, they've got DeConning there, who they've developed.
I'm not too worried about Geelong's defence. That's the least of Geelong's worries, I reckon.
No, I think their defence is probably the strongest part of their game. Their actual defence,
yep,
not their midfield defence, I think, isn't. But I think the defence is okay. DeConning, they probably do need to draft another key defender now.
Yep.
So that DeConning has somebody to come through with. I mean, he'll then become the mainstay, hopefully, in 2 or 3 years' time. But then he's got somebody else who's at his stage now who he can develop with, so that they've got a tandem there that aren't too far apart in age.
Yep.
Because Blitzer, what's he, 31?
Yep. All right, last one, Benny. I want to move on. Same game plan every year, same reason why we lose in finals every year. This is John. Every year, Wells recruits a missing part to win a flag. Cameron, Tim Kelly, Stengel, Dangerfield. I'll raise the issue there. Kelly wasn't recruited. He was drafted. And he wasn't drafted to win a flag. He was drafted because he was a good midfielder that the Cats thought they needed. Stengel's played 16 games. He hasn't been signed, and he's coming. You know, he hasn't cost the Cats anything. He was a listed free agent. So Stengel's not the reason. All the assistant coaches have left except Chris Scott. Well, have left. Chris Scott's still there. Dominator is Chris Scott. It is easy to bash Chris Scott. It is very simple to do that. But he has, for 11 years, kept Geelong in contention. This year will tell us a lot. That's all I'll say. 2022 will tell us a lot about where the future of the Geelong Football Club goes.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's signal the end of an era, do you reckon? Put an exclamation point on this topping up and saying, okay, we've had a crack at that. That ain't.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see now that they've split. So now that Stephen Wells now only looks after recruiting and drafting, and it's now list management now belongs with Andrew Mackey. It'll be interesting to see whether and Steve Hocking now being the new CEO, whether the approach changes.
Yep, and I think we underestimate the role that the coach has played in sometimes getting some of these players.
Oh, absolutely. So
I don't think it's all on Stephen Wells and the list management. I think some players, I mean, I know of one player, and I won't name names, but who was on the list, it wasn't a unanimous support of the list management team. It was the coach saying, this guy's on our list. Yeah. I agree with you, King. This is a really interesting year for Geelong, and I'll be really interested to see the makeup of the team in the first four rounds, who they play, who they don't play, what kids get a crack. Are they rolling kids in, or are they just going with, we're there to win it. And this is our best team, and our best team is basically of 75% all over 30.
Benny, we're going to leave it at that.
Extraordinary. First ever Kerr's Hire Zoom podcast, Cat Attack style.
Benny, see you next week. Have fun on Saturday without me, by the way.
I'll always have fun, Kingy. I look forward to Jay sort of trying to get the shit back on the right. I could be like that bloke that in the Costa Concordia that just Jay's could be that guy that just jumps straight off the boat into the life raft. I think he's in jail, unfortunately, but anyway. All right, no, it's been superb. It's been fantastic. So I look forward to doing a few of these throughout the year, and hopefully we can get into the studio and knock it all off. And season starts tomorrow night, so can't wait to see the Cats team. And really interesting game against Essendon, because you reckon Essendon will make finals?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they will too. So it's an 8-point game, Kenny.
Thank you, Benny.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisen dealer, North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.